hear a lot of exciting things that are happening that God's calling our community to. But can I just tell you, none of them is more exciting than what we're doing this morning. Everything we do, everywhere, is about getting people to the point of saying yes to Jesus. And today, we're going to have people publicly declaring that decision through the act of baptism. You might be inspired by what you see. You might say, this is my next step on my spiritual journey. Awesome. We're not doing any walk-ups today, but you can go to crossroads.net/baptism because we will do this again in February. And we'd love for you to make this bold decision publicly, like my friend Anthony here. So Anthony, tell us, when did you say yes to Jesus?
It was this past winter. I did the Wild at Heart community group, and just being around those guys and the group that I had there, and hearing those stories and the knowledge that they poured into me, it was incredible. And it told me, you know, I got to go at this, and I got to go at this full tilt.
Yes, so you went full tilt into a relationship with Jesus, and you talked about what it means for you to be baptized. What's it mean for you this morning?
Well, you know, after that group, and I'm getting married in the summer, actually. What it means for me is just being a godly man for my wife and my children in the future and my entire family as a whole, and showing them, you know, how they should live their lives and to model it like I am after today, after Jesus.
Absolutely. So you are setting the tone not only for this generation, but for generations to come in your family. Man, go ahead and do it. Go be obedient. Get baptized. here with Keturah, who just made a bold declaration of baptism. Let's celebrate that, huh? The energy. I love it. I love it. So Keturah, tell us, what did it mean for you to make that decision? What did it mean for you to be baptized?
To leave all the pain in that water and to come up just new and to know that God is my Father and I will follow Him.
Praise God. Praise God. Woo! Praise God. So God, we just agree with Keturah that there are things that she is literally leaving behind in this water today. And also in the spiritual sense, leaving them behind. And so God, we pray that where there was pain, you would bring peace. We pray that where there was heartbreak, you would bring hope. And we pray that where there was sadness, you would bring a strength and a passion as she follows boldly after you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Congratulations. Way to go. Way to go. What did it mean for you to be baptized today?
It just means that all the insecurities that I had before are gone, and I have somebody who's pulling for me, wants to be with me every single day, and it's just an incredible feeling.
Yes, yes, yes. And walk in that confidence, walk in that boldness. And not only do you have someone in your corner that's Jesus and the Spirit that lives inside of you, but you've got a whole bunch of brothers and sisters here that are in your corner as well. Absolutely. We celebrate this day with you, God. I thank you for Monica. God, she will not walk alone. She does not walk alone. And we just celebrate that you're worthy of it all because you're so gracious and so kind. God, strengthen her as she goes from here to be salt and light in the world. Amen. Amen. Congratulations.
it far. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're good. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
God, you are. You are perfect in every way. Thank you for being such a good, good Father, and continue to reveal your goodness today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Great, great, great. How about that? Starting the day off with baptisms, some good singing. Man, this is a good Sunday morning. Yes, it is. It's the first week of the I'm In campaign, and you know what? This is a journey, a spiritual journey that our whole team is going on together. And I just want to tell you a couple of things you're going to need to engage in this journey. And everything I'm talking about is in this program. Grab one of these on your way out for additional details. But first and foremost, you got to download the app. How many people have downloaded the Crossroads Anywhere app? Man, that thing is sweet. There's all kinds of content on it. We're streaming services now live. You can do that on your phone. But also, for the campaign, there are going to be prompts, things that you're going to be praying through, thinking through, talking through, that'll help you on this journey. So download the app. Go to the Google Play Store or Apple and search for Crossroads Anywhere. Make sure you get that app. Do it today. Do it today. You're going to need some stuff in it as you go into this week. Secondly, get in a small group. This is not a journey you can or should do alone. So we want everybody to have a team of people, a smaller community, where you're processing what God is saying to you. If you're in a current group, be that a huddle or a small group, mom's group, father's group, a man camp group, then get those folks together and figure out when you're going to meet three times starting the week of November 1st. If you're not in a group, when you come next weekend after this service and every service, we'll have a find a group event. We'll help you get connected to some people, and that'll be key for you to go on this journey. And then finally, I want to invite you to a mission briefing. This is a place where you can get more details and insight on the specific initiatives we're running after and get your questions answered as well. Two opportunities to be a part of one of these. One is today at 5 p.m. You can come on back. We'll be over in the student section. Child care will be provided. You can also join us on this Wednesday, October 28th at 7 p.m. This one on Wednesday will replace Next Level for this month. So love for you to jump into one of these as a teammate, processing what this means for you. I think it'll be helpful for your journey. One final thing to let you know, believe it or not, it's actually 6 weeks until Awaited. I know. Awaited is our creative retelling of the Christmas story. This year we've got 30 shows. We're going to reach 100,000 of our friends and neighbors in the city through Awaited. And we need 4,500 of you to make that happen. And so that looks like serving hot cocoa, greeting people when they come in the building, or parking cars, my personal favorite. Join me in the parking lot and park some cars. It's an adventure every year. And so we want you to be a part of this. If you go to crossroads.net/awaitedvolunteers, you can serve with family, with friends. You can sign up for one show or multiple shows. But try it out. We'd love for you to be a part of the team that makes this happen. Well, all of the things we run after around here, be it Awaited or what we're doing through the I'm In campaign, is fueled by generosity of folks on this team, everyday folks like you and me. And we're going to have a chance to practice generosity right now. Volunteers will come with some baskets, and you can give cash or check in the bags that are coming by. You can also go online to crossroads.net/give and give electronically as well. Well, like I said, this is week one of the I'm In campaign, and today, Brian's going to share the heartbeat that we have to run after our friends and neighbors in our city, and we're doing that even to the ends of the earth. We're excited that you're here.
2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, a small group of men huddled in a room, astounded at the impossible. Jesus was here, a dead man, alive. He had defeated the grave, just like he promised. Not only for himself, but for everyone, forever. Jesus, is this it? Is now the time, the men asked. They were ready for an insurrection, a revolution, to free Israel from Rome. But Jesus' answer changed everything. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Instead of freeing them physically, Jesus gave them his power, called them to go and bring his message of rescue to all nations and for all eternity. Though they had never been more than a few miles from home, let alone across the sea, though they had no religious training, and compared to the call, little wealth, they went. They crossed oceans, climbed mountains, and marched across the world, carrying with them a memory burned into their hearts. A clarion call pulling them over the horizon. You go. The world would never be the same.
By the world standards, we've done enough. We could say we're tired. We could choose to coast, grow comfortable savings accounts, accumulate awards. We could choose to write off the call to go to the ends of the earth as outdated, as a metaphor. We could choose to say, it's someone else's turn. But we are not a team who sits on the sidelines. We will answer the call and go to our Jerusalem and reach our friends. We will go to our Judea and reach our city. We will go to our Samaria and reach our country. We will even go to the ends of the earth and reach our world. We will take our place beside the 2,000-year-old radicals who first answered his call. We will say, here I am, Lord, send me. Wherever you call us, we're in.
I'm so excited about today. I'm so excited about the next 5 weeks because God is always into growing his people, growing his people's hearts, and growing the vision that he gives for his people to do his work. And so I'm fired up to talk about this today, and let's pray before we do anything else. God, I thank you for who you are, what you do, and how you include people in things that are larger than anything that we could think of. And you're doing something great, I know, in every chair that's in a Crossroads location. You're doing something great in our region. You're doing something great in our world. And we want to be able to learn from you and know what it is you want us to be a part of here at Crossroads. And so help my words to be helpful to that end and bind us together and get us to be the church you've always designed us to be. And I pray these things according to your name, the person of Jesus. Amen. Man, that verse that was in that video, by the way, welcome everybody in Florence and Mason and Westside and Uptown and Oakley, and for the very first week, what urologists would call our streamers. Welcome to all of our streamers who are online right now all over the place. It's a good day for us today. In that urologist streamers, that'll be funny the more you think about it. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we saw this in the video. Let's look at it again. It's one of the two places where the Great Commission is given by Jesus to grow his people and to grow their vision outward. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, where they live, Judea, the next ring out, Samaria, the next ring out, and to the ends of the earth. We have a little bit of a cultural problem in understanding this verse because going to different places and going to the ends of the earth, that doesn't sound too revolutionary for us. Most of us have the money to save up for a plane ticket to go to the other side of the world if we really want to at some point. Most of us are able to go to other states here in the United States, or if we're not wanting to do that, at least to see on the web what's going on, different languages, all that kind of stuff. You have to realize that in this day and age, no one went anywhere. Jesus was blowing their mind. You still see this a little bit today. Lib and I, years and years ago, before we had a smartphone, before there was GPSs, she got in the back of my motorcycle, and we decided to go to this place we'd heard of, this place called French Lick, Indiana. Crazy, crazy, crazy place. Anyone been to French Lick, Indiana in here? It's a fascinating place. They've got this huge dome that before the Houston Astrodome was built, it's the largest dome in the United States before the Houston Astrodome was done. It's really wild. You get to this place and it's like parallel universe. It's like you're in Germany or something like that. So we're on our way there and I've got this paper map taped to my tank. And I'm not sure if I'm reading this right, so I pull into the gas station, and I ask the woman there, excuse me, is there a, can you tell me how far it is to get to French Lick? Which, by the way, who names their town French Lick? I don't know what's going on with this region, but like, you got French Lick, you got Big Bone Lick, you got Beaver Lick. This is not good, friend, seriously. I know it amuses all the junior high kids or the 50-year-old senior pastors, but really, some mayor has got to think through, let's change the name of our town. People are laughing at us, nonetheless. So I said, how far? She said, I don't know. I've never been there. So pulled out of the gas station, made a right, and we were there in 15 minutes. My favorite place on the entire planet to go is the Grand Canyon. I love the Grand Canyon. I was just there not too long ago for a 50th birthday thing. And I tell you, if you ever go there, it's like, if you've never been there, here's what it is. It's a canyon that's grand. It is unbelievable. Same thing. We rented a Harley out of some city, and we, Lib and I, cruising up. We have our paper map, and I stop into this into Flagstaff, which is the closest city town to the Grand Canyon. We had a really great breakfast, and I asked the girl who was serving us, "Hey, I'm thinking about going this way to get up the Grand Canyon. Is this the best way to go?" And she said, "I don't know. I've never been there." I said, "How long have you lived in Flagstaff?" She said, "My whole life." I was like, "Okay." Got the Grand Canyon, which is, I don't know, an hour away. And we heard more languages from foreign countries than we did English. And here's this person who's lived their whole life, has never been in there. Here's a person outside of French Lake who's never been there. All this to say, when Jesus says, go, they've never been outside of where they live. Never. That doesn't happen. There's no corporations. There's no corporate transfers you can have. There's no entrepreneurial drive saying, hey, I'm going to set up a blacksmith shop over there and compete with that guy. That doesn't happen. You stay in your town. You stay in your discipline. If you're going to do a different thing, you do it somebody in the town where the sons are traded off for one another. So Jesus, when he says you're to go, he is blowing their mind. He is expanding their view. This is really important for you to understand this as we go forward in this campaign, because this is not some, hey, CrossFit just wants to get bigger and bigger and bigger, or hey, we just want to add more digits, or hey, we want to do it. No, you have to understand, this is the very heart of God, who is always pushing, always growing. We are going to grow what God is doing here. God's asking us to do that. At the same time, you are going to grow as a result of what's happening here. Somebody came after you for you to be here today. Somebody wanted to reach you and grow you. Somebody came to you to get you in here or on this screen today.
It's a beautiful walk.
That's right.
I was brought up in church. I going to church my whole life up until about 30 years old, but bad things befell me. I went to prison for a while. I spent nearly 800 days out of 5 years locked up. Lost friendships, I lost family relationships. They were all broken.
Well, the thing that breaks my heart is still there's people I know who are disconnected from their Creator. And when you're disconnected from your Creator, you're disconnected from the life that you could and should be having, let alone there's eternal ramifications. When someone comes into CrossFit for the first time, I want them to feel a sense of connection, that there's things that are happening here that I understand in my day-to-day world. I want them to experience that.
I had been going to church, and I tried to go back to church in the beginning of my being in trouble. The pastor asked that maybe I go to a different church for a while till I reestablish myself. They were kind of ashamed of me, and I should be ashamed of myself, they said. And I didn't go to church anywhere. I just went on about my way and was in and out of jail and out of trouble, in and out of jobs. But I wasn't about to give in and change or stop. I didn't know how.
The thing that we get up and do every day, and when we go down to bed at the end of every night, as we look at, have we enabled our neighbors, our coworkers, to come to relationship with Christ? Have we created an environment that the Holy Spirit can use to woo people into his people's presence and hopefully get into his presence? That's always, hands down, the most important thing we've ever done and the most important thing we will ever do.
God, I didn't turn to him. I didn't invite him into my problems. I felt like, you know, I got myself into this mess, and God's not going to hear what I got to say because I keep stepping in the same stuff every single day. I mean, I went through suicide attempts, and, you know, just I was a masochist. I did things that I mean, I'm not proud of none of that. I mean, it doesn't define who I am now, but it was what I was then. And finally, the last time that I was locked up in jail was for 10 months in the county jail in Warren County. I got out, I was trying to live my life good, and I met my wife, and we didn't have God in our lives, per se, going to pray, cry, you know, church or anything like that. We just lived our lives. And last fall, a friend of mine that's been coming to CrossFit for a long time posted on Facebook, awaited. And we started talking one night about, hey, you know, we've always talked, we're going to go to like a Christmas program. So we saw it, we went home, and that was right before Christmas. Then we talked about church at Christmas. New Mason was opening a new facility. And I said, hey, do you want to try Crossroads up in Mason? They got this new place, I guess they're opening it up. Didn't know nothing about it. She said, if you want to, we'll go. We went first couple times, and then we started Real Marys. We did Real Marys in Mason last year. We was trying anything we could just to get in, just to keep our relationship, to fix maybe bad things that happened to us, things that I had done, I was trying. And she told me right before Real Mary, she said, I'm not going to go if you're not going to really put your effort into it. She said, if you're not going to go and open up and do the things that need to be done, it's not going to work for us. And we did great.
We live in a culture and a society that is so fake, that's so plastic, that wears us out. We live in a culture that's beating us down, that's numbing us out. And I think people coming into a Crossroads site saying, if there's something beyond what I'm being given day in, day out, I hope there is, and maybe this place can help me understand the transcendent and understand who God is. And I think that that's where we excel. We strip away everything that's non-essential until people understand their creator and understand the amazing love that Jesus has for them. And that's where people are coming to experience.
The Friday service here for Easter, we came. We're setting up in the balcony, in the front row of the balcony, and we got the little boxes and stuff and everything with the, you know, the spike and the communion and stuff. And we're sitting in there and we sang. I heard Jenny's voice over everybody else's voice. And she doesn't sing loud. She's not booming. She's not loud anyway. She's demure. And I heard her. I could hear her voice. And I know at that point that was the first time that I ever heard God talk. I heard it was him telling me, hey, this is where you all belong. Your wife likes this. You're going to be successful. Give this place a chance. She just said she feels it. She said she's never felt church in her, and not meaning church, but never felt so moved to where she's anxious and excited about coming to a service or an event. You just feel like you're part, or you're so accepted. I mean, there's not been a person here that hasn't smiled or said hello. Or when we're sitting at a table out here before the service starts, somebody, a pure, perfect stranger that has no idea, sits down with us and starts talking to us about nothing. And it's like, people don't just do that at places. They stay away when two people are sitting there. Now a third person is not going to come up. This is different. And that's what makes this place, Crossroads, this community, the most powerful thing that's ever happened in our lives.
Our current sites are working really, really hard for us. Our current sites are the bread and butter of how people come to know Christ, how people grow in Christ, how people get brought together to do go trips and City Link and all different kinds of stuff. So when you have something that's working really hard, those are engines for us that are working really, really hard. And if you've got an engine, you got to keep maintaining it, right? You got to keep changing the oil on it. You got to keep it in tip-top shape. I mean, it's the same way with our sites. And we've got to keep using the physical space that God has blessed us with, operating at peak capacity. And so therefore, we need to have a portion of this campaign that's enabling our bread and butter ministries to keep going forward.
I love being Oakley campus pastor. It's the most diverse campus of Crossroads, and I love that. I love that people come from all over the city, all walks of life, and in this building, they experience Jesus in a language they can understand. We want to continue to be a place where that can happen. Every time we launch a new site, we have hundreds of people leave Oakley, and yet we have hundreds and thousands more come for the first time. So there's a couple things we want to do for our friends and family to help them connect with Jesus in the best environment possible. Number one, I'm in our control room right now, where most of the equipment is 10 years old. Imagine using the same cell phone that you had 10 years ago. Mine was a Palm Trio. I liked it, but I like my iPhone 5 a lot better. We want to upgrade the equipment so this room continues to have all of the equipment we need to create an immersive experience, both through message and music, where people can connect to Jesus. And also, we're going to be the digital campus where things are recorded and spread to other campuses. We want to do that in the best way possible. Second, we want to upgrade our parking lot. If we pave our gravel lot now, we'll have 112 new spaces, which will alleviate some of the parking pressure. And we don't want to make a terrible first impression on our friends. We want to make it as easy for them to get in our parking lot so they can get in a seat
and meet Jesus and hear about the love that he has for them. So I'm excited about our upgrades. We need to do them because we want this to continue to be a place for our family and friends.
Jesus had a vision to bless and reach the entire world. We haven't reached an even sizable percentage of Cincinnati. If people aren't getting into a community where the words of Jesus aren't infiltrating their heart, then something's really wrong and something's really broken. Now, fortunately, we're a part of something that is growing because it's working. And guess what? If it's working, let's keep working it.
God has been there through it all. And that's one thing about in the Bray journey when you know, they talked about Jesus walking on the water and is it, do you want to stay in the boat or do you want to go where Jesus is? Go into the storm because that's where he's at. And that's why I never realized that, never thought of it that way. It's like, man, I like being safe. I like being kind of obscure, just being over here. But no, Jesus is where the action is. And that's what I want to do. We're more caring. We're more open, more willing to show people how our faith is growing and our lives is changing.
I'm Roger.
And I'm in.
Man. Gosh, priceless, priceless. So what I want to do for the rest of our time together today is I want to ping pong back and forth between giving information on what this journey is about and giving scriptural inspiration of how the journey that we've started on is one that followers of Jesus or seekers of Jesus have done for generation after generation. We are going places, a church, where I never thought that we would ever go. No one would have ever imagined the Crossroads would be what it is today because God always pushes us and does more in our lives than we think. No one would have ever thought way back when that there'd be five different sites of Crossroads operating lockstep together. No one would have ever thought that we'd have 2,200 guys go to a thing called Man Camp over a nine-month period, 75 baptisms and 83 kegs of beer get kicked. No one ever would have thought that. No one would have ever thought that our church is bringing people back to health who are infected with HIV, 1,000 people every single month in South Africa. No one would have ever thought that we would have stepped up and partnered with Compassion International and we would have 6,000 kids who are being fed and educated for their entire childhood as a result of our church. No one ever. In fact, I was just there recently and I saw this guy right here. His name is Julio. It was actually me and Julio. We were down by the schoolyard when we were interacting. And he's a Crossroads kid. I don't know whose it is, but I just want to know someone who's a part of our church, this is your kid. And I said, hey, have you heard from your sponsor? And he started immediately crying. Him and his family did. And I have no judgment for you because I historically have been awful, awful, awful writing the kids that we sponsor through compassion. But I just want to let you know, they crave to hear from you. If you've got a kid, write them, get the Compassion app, send them something. They love it, they crave it. Who would have ever thought 6,000 kids, we would have never thought that we would be able to have kids being built into in Kids Club, Whiz Kids tutors, taking kids to a new place educationally. We would have never thought that we'd have as many people having deep, meaningful relationships through small groups or our recovery groups, people who are recovering and coming out of addictions and crazy behaviors that are hard to even talk about here on a weekend. But we're seeing that over and over again. And all that and way, way, way more. That's not sidling funding that we do to $1 million a year. That's not, I mean, I go on and on and on. All that. It's the bread and butter of our ministry, and it's funded by our ongoing ministry fund, which is whenever we put something in the bags or we e-gift. And that annual ministry fund this year, our annual budget this year is $28 million. All of that goes to, and we spend every bit of that, every bit of that. And God is pushing us. He's expanding his work. And so we're on this journey that started today. Well, we're going to go through a process to understand from God, what is it that you want me to give beyond my regular giving, above and beyond my regular giving for 3 years to enable your will, your work to keep going? Now, if Bill Gates is watching our streamcast, that would be awesome if you were. Hi, Bill. Give me a call sometime. Love to chat and catch up with you. And he said, hey, man, I was really mesmerized by this. $100 million, man. I'm in. I'm going to give Crossroads $100 million. We would still be doing this spiritual journey. Because there's a fulcrum of two realities God's given us a vision and responsibility that doesn't match the resources that we have, and he has a vision for your life that doesn't match your spiritual maturity. Those two things, even if we had $100 million in the bank, we would do this because all of us need this for our spiritual well-being. He's expanding his work out there, and he's expanding his work in here. Since our last campaign, we have doubled in size as Crossroads. If you figure out, that's cool, you can clap for that if you want. If you also figure out, that's our total numbers. So let's assume of people who were here before, those numbers also represent 10% of people moving away or being bothered by my poor diction and leaving the church or whatever. So let's say that's 10%. So 60% of us here at Crossroads have never been through a campaign. You think, I don't know what this is. I don't understand how this is all going to work. That's part of what I'm going to be doing today in just a moment. But you also have to understand, you've been through a spiritual journey before. You've been through a campaign. If you've been through the free journey, if you've been through the brave journey, if you've been through any of those journeys we've done, you've been to a campaign, because all those journeys were learnings we had from our first two campaigns when we realized to grow our church's individual hearts, we could have done nothing better than this campaign. That's when we had small groups that mirrored the content in the weekend. That's when we brought that into being. That's when we started playing with prayer experiences, and we'll have a prayer experience in this one as well. That's when we started having regular take-home content that you could do on your own way back when. That's when we started making sure the kids and the students and the people in auditoriums were all doing the same thing. That's when we started shutting things down around Crossroads to provide space for everyone to do this. It's just that those other campaigns were around some other spiritual topic other than money and giving and the expansion of God's work. That's what this spiritual journey is. It's a spiritual journey. And I actually don't expect anyone in here to feel excited about this journey right now, because it's the beginning of the journey for you. It's the beginning. This journey for me started months and months ago when I had to discern and pray through whether I wanted to throw my energy into this whole thing with other leaders here at Crossroads. So I'm a bit further along on the journey. I just want to encourage you right now to sign in for the journey, to say, I want to do it. I want you to feel the challenge of this. I want you to feel the burn that's going to come from this. I want you to feel the exhilaration of growing spiritually over the next 4 or 5 weeks. And I want you also to have the satisfaction years from now when you see the things that God does through our church, you go, yeah, man, I heard from God, I stepped up, I was in, and I am in. And these are decisions that every follower of Jesus has made for thousands of years. The original group of Jesus' followers, we know them as the original 12 disciples, they did a lot of their stuff around this lake, the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus would oftentimes do something over here in this part of the lake, get in the boat, come back over here, do some stuff over here, teaching and healing, get back in the boat, come back over this side. He would kind of go back and forth. And we're going to look at three scenarios where this took place. He comes over, and when he comes over, bam, there's 5,000 people that are there that he starts teaching and he starts healing, and great, great stuff is happening. And he's recognizing, hey, I can have these people's attention if I feed them. And not only that, it'll be safer for them to get home when I'm done. So he gives instructions to feed these people. And actually, it's more than 5,000. It says here 5,000 men. So this isn't women and children. Women, we know, are generally more spiritually sensitive than men are. So perhaps there's more women there. They're bringing their families. They have very, very big families at that point. So it's a safe assumption to say roughly the size of a Crossroads, 20,000 people are there who need to be fed on the side of the shore. And here's where it goes. He answered them, you give them something to eat, them, the disciples. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? That's a lot of bread. That's 200 days' wages, as they had a saying, another day, another denarii. So should we do that? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, we have 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven. He said a blessing, and he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. A lot of stuff going on here. One thing is about, we see Jesus' great leadership. Many of us know Jesus as a carpenter. I think he could work with wood, but I don't think that's the best, fullest description of what his occupation was. I think the best understanding of that word that's given in the New Testament and history, I think, bears this out, is he was a builder. He wasn't only somebody who knew how to put together a table. He was a builder, and I believe he was a very successful builder. And every builder has logistical abilities that they leverage. And we see this here with Jesus. He said, okay, here we go. We're going to do this. We're going to bring me what you got, and let's divide folks up. Let's set them down in 50s, and let's set them down in hundreds. And let's get it. And this is what builders do. They understand how to organize their job site. Where do the raw materials go? How do I stage the subs who are coming in? All this kind of stuff. And Jesus has these logistics down. Jesus didn't become the greatest person in the history of the world, the most well-known person in the history of the world, just because he was a great teacher. He set in place some logistical ideas that transcended and went beyond them, beyond him. One of them was just the vision of go. Don't be happy having your own spiritual thing. Go and expand. A bunch of stuff that he did. And so at Crossroads, when we want to see God work and God be powerfully present in our midst in our lives, we have leadership decisions to make that relate to the logistics that equip how will we all get fed through this. How will we all grow? And so this campaign has a number of logistics to it. We want to encourage you. We've spent a lot of time on the weekend. Make sure you make it on the weekend or make sure you stream it. It's critical for that. You need to understand that if it's your very first campaign, relax. Just relax your sphincter right now. Just relax it. Don't release your sphincter. Just relax. Relax your sphincter. No one's going to call you. No one's going to call you. No one's going to email you. No one's going to send you anything that gives you a fair share number. That's not going to happen. We're still Crossroads. We've never done that. We won't do that. That also means, though, that we're going to push you. We're going to challenge you to grow. You're never going to see a thermometer up here say, hey, let's all color in the thermometer. Come on, get more. Don't you want to see the red rise? No, we're never going to do that. This is a thermostat. We're going to adjust things around here to turn up the spiritual temperature in your life, to enable you to encounter God. This is going to be a great, great growing experience for you. Trust me on this. Three big ideas here we see from these scenarios of Jesus. Number one is we give what we have. We give what we have. The disciples came in and gave what they have. Jesus said, well, what do you got? Well, I got my little stash of bread. I got my little stash. Well, we'll bring it. We give what we have. This defined that they were in. This defined that they were a part of what God was doing. It defined that they were growing because they gave. They brought it forward. I was really, really excited to see how things went last week with Vision Weekend. Wasn't that fun? Wasn't that fun? All over the place. Let's thank our creatives, our volunteers in Kids Club for getting it done. So good. All good. And afterwards, it was kind of cool to see people posting on social media. I'm in. People emailing me. I'm in. That's awesome. I like seeing the enthusiasm. That's really, really, really cool. At the same time, it's a little premature for anyone to say, I'm in. Because whether or not you're in always depends on your actions. This is not Crossroads Awareness Month. Oh, I'm aware of things. Oh, yeah, I'm in. Yeah, no, your emotions never define whether or not you're in on something. Never. Your intentions never define whether or not you're in on something. Never. It's your actions that define whether or not you're in on something. Judas wasn't in on what God was doing. We're in based on our actions, and we're going to go through a process so we can hear from God, and God can hear from our hearts that says, God, this is what I'm bringing forward of what you've given me, and this defines that I'm in. I'm in on my local church. I'm in on your call that you've given to early followers of Jesus, and I'm in. And loving you and having my heart grow. The second thing that happens they bring these things to Jesus, and Jesus blesses what they give. He blesses it. It's the blessing of Jesus on what is given that enables leftovers to happen. So this happens over here with 20,000 people. They bring forth what they have, and there's food left over. It's a miracle. They get back in the boat. They cruise over here, and we have what's known as the feeding of the 4,000. It's a pretty similar story. You've already heard it because I just read the feeding of the 20,000, but let's just go through it really, really quickly. Here it goes. And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and said, gave thanks. He broke them and gave them to the disciples and set before the people. And they set before the crowd, and they had a small fish, and they blessed them. And he said they would all be set before them, and they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces and set before. Now, there he goes. It sounded like a Jimmy John commercial, didn't it? There's parallels in both of these stories. They look very, very, very similar. And one of the common things is they bring what they have. They bring it. They're in on the miracle. One of the reasons why some of us have not encountered more miracles. It's one of the reasons why many of us have not encountered more crazy experience with God. One of the reasons why many of us have not encountered more spiritual growth is we only clutch to what we have. We don't bring forward what we have. They bring it forward, and Jesus blesses it. Jesus blesses what we give. The thing that all you have to decide to give right now is you just need to decide to give your time to going through a spiritual journey. Whether or not you're in, that is defined right now by, are you getting the app and putting it on your device to go through the homework? Are you doing that? Are you thinking through, after next week, I need to have 3 small group sessions. Maybe that's people I'm with in community right now. We're just going to reformat what we normally do. Or maybe I'm going to grab 3 friends and have 3 beers over 3 weeks, and we're just going to talk about this stuff. Or I'm going to do coffee. Or I'm going to do, you got it's the disciples. They're not individualists here. They're a team. They're doing these things. This defines whether or not you're in. Let me be really clear. If you're not going to be in on those things, it's time for you to leave Crossroads. We don't have room for people who don't want to be in. And even if we do have room, we're not helping you grow. It's time for you to go. Don't be coming in here and going, hey, I'm just going to kind of come back in 4 weeks. This is too much for me. Don't come back in 4 weeks. If you don't want to go through a spiritual journey, you don't have the passion that it takes to be a part of our church, the passion to grow. I'm not telling you what you have to do later, but I'm saying this is a time for you to decide whether or not you're in on growing. Are you in on being pushed? Are you in on becoming like Jesus? Are you in on being about his purpose? He was very clear on it. And if you are, all you have to do is say, okay, I'm going to go through this journey. Is that cool? I don't hear anyone booing or applauding, But, you know, I'm sure people email, did you really mean with it? Yes, I did. Yes. Yes, I did. Because we're not helping you, and you're not helping the cause of Christ just by sitting and taking. You need to go on this journey. I want it for you. I want it for you bad. And so I'm doing everything I can to encourage you to be engaged with that. 3, the third thing that we see that happens here is that their giving leads to growth. The giving of their loaves and of their fish leads to growth. The growth of their hearts, because they get to see a miracle, and the growth of their stuff. They actually go away with more than they started with. Crazy. Crazy. Why? Because God is an amazing giver. And who does God especially love to give to? People who are engaged in his work. He's an amazing giver, loves to give to people who are giving his work. Now's the time of the service where we take up an offering. If it's your first time here, we just want to welcome you here and just say we're glad to serve you. Oh, no, we already did that, didn't we? Oh, okay. Now's the time in the service. Let me try this. How's this sound? Now's the time of the service when we give an offering. If it's your first time here, you've been here a long, long time, feel free to take. In fact, as our ushers come forward right now, let's go, ushers, chop, chop. They always go so slow in this. We are going to have a reverse offering right now, and they're going to pass down bags, and we want you to reach in there and take money. Take one bill, everyone to have a $5 bill. So as they come forward, they're going to be doing this. And just reach on there and grab this. And I know some of you are like, oh, no, I don't know if I can. I don't want to do it. I've seen people like just pass by. Hey, you, you receive every time you come here. You receive coffee, you receive free HVAC, you receive parking that someone paid for you. So this is no different. This is no different. Take out $5 and who's got an usher? How about me? Doesn't the preacher man get $5? Man, no one's going to bring poor little Brian up here $5? Man, no one? Oh, there we go. Thank you very much. All right, good. Now, as we look at this, here's what you need to understand about this. This money is not yours. That's what you need to understand. You're going to take it out of here, and you're going to use it, but whose money is this? Yeah, very good. That's what you always say in church. God's. Or another good answer is Jesus. Yeah, that's always the right answer. That's good. So this is a sign of God's generosity in your life. God has given you this $5, and part of what you're going to get in touch with in this campaign is how he has given to you things over and over again. Many of us get numbed out to the things that God's blessed us with, and we just don't notice it. So I'm going to come back to this in just a moment as this is going. So here's what happens. As Jesus is going to do the 20,000 over here, the 4,000, then they get back in the boat, and they start going to the other side. And as they're on the other side, he says to the guys, hey, dudes, you know, we were just over there. Do you see those religious people, those Pharisees? They were all about rules and regulations, and religion just wears you down. It's not the same as relationship. And he says, you know, these folks who just want to give you religion and rules and all this kind of stuff, he says, be careful of them. They're it's like yeast. A little bit of these ideas, this yeast, works through the whole batch, and he starts going off on this whole thing, and he says yeast, and all of a sudden one of the disciples goes, yeast. Oh, shoot, that reminds me of bread. Who's got lunch? John, did you bring lunch? He goes, no, Petey, I thought you had lunch. No, I don't know. Andrew, did you? We're going to be hungry. We're going to go. They start murmuring that, like, someone forgot to bring lunch. And Jesus is talking, and all of a sudden he realizes he's lost his audience. And so here's what he says. Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? As I said before, my journey has been going a bit longer than ours. I have no idea what I'm going to do in 4 or 5 weeks. In fact, no one who's part of Crossroads has any idea what God wants you to do or what God's going to be happy that you do 4 or 5 weeks. You don't know. You think you do not know because you've just started. I don't know. You don't know. But I do know this. God has worked an amazing thing into my heart where I am genuinely excited about this because I came into the idea of a campaign months and months ago not really excited about it. I came in just dragging my feet, like, oh, man. I used to just dragging my feet because in an earthly sense, I don't want to have less. In an earthly sense, well, we all know this, money talks, right? Money talks to us. It says things like to us, like, I know money's talking to you in here right now. Like, oh, here they go again. They just want more money. That guy up there, he makes so much. He's got probably got a private jet and chicks on the side. I mean, there's stuff up there that's just not right. You know, I don't know. I don't know what Crossroads is doing. Where does this money go? I don't know what happens with the money. Money's talking to us. I'm telling you, doing everything possible to get you and I to check out and not be on this journey. Everything possible. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that we have an external audit of our books every year and we make that available. Doesn't matter that we have a 20-year stellar track record. 20 years. I challenge anyone to find any organization, profit, nonprofit, that's said they were going to do more audacious things than we have and have done them. The things that we say we do over and over and over. We have a stellar track record. And yet I know when we come into these things, we're like, oh, I know for me, when I come into this, God's been very good to me, but yet I come in, I'm going, oh no, I'm going to be living naked in a van down by the river now. This is not good. Because money's talking to me, telling me, don't be a part of this. So it told me a long time ago, and I didn't listen to it. I chose to listen to God. And look what Jesus does here. He says to folks three times, he says, do you not understand? Do you not remember? Do you not yet understand? And these words meant a lot to me. We've had three campaigns that we've been through here at Crossroads, another campaign at the previous church that we were at. And through those campaigns, we've done a variety of things that were sacrifices above and beyond what we regularly give for 3 years. We've done things like, we haven't done all of these in every campaign. We've done things like give up cable, delay the paving of a gravel driveway that we were going to do and give that as part of our campaign commitment, the blacktop amount. We've sold jewelry. I sold my Harley. We've taken all of our cash assets that we had in short-term savings and liquidated all those short of retirement or college savings. We have other things. There's just a variety of things that we've done. And here's the thing. I look at that and I think, well, how much Jack would I have right now had I not been through three campaigns? Like, would I be able to have a second house on a lake had I not gone through those things? Would I have been able to do... The accountants would say that, but I also know that I've become a rich man as a result of my giving. I have an abiding relationship with my God that I wouldn't have had if it wasn't for my giving. I have an abiding connection to his work that I wouldn't have had. I have an abiding camaraderie with other people who are in the same thing that I wouldn't have had. I don't know how many things have gone well in my life as a result of that. I'm doing pretty well financially. And this is my turning point. It was like God said to me, basically, I remembered it, and I know God liked this memory. Was like, Brian, look, you've had your two oldest kids through college with very minimal student debt. You have all of your needs met. Every last need in your life is met, and just about all your wants, too. Something goes wrong, or breaks on a car, you're able to fix it, yada, yada. And it's like God said, how is it you still don't understand? I need, the Tome family needs, everybody needs this journey. I know money's talking to those of us who've been through journeys saying, oh, no, this campaign is for people who've never been through a campaign. Oh, no, it's not. It's for you too. But money is talking to us to keep us from growing closer to God instead of closer to our stuff. I want to grow closer to God. The Tome family does, and so does Jeff.
Yeah?
Welcome.
And we moved to Cincinnati from Green Bay about 5 years ago for a job. And we came with a brand new baby, 1 month old, and didn't know a lot of people here. And someone we were trying to build a relationship invited us to Crossroads and said, hey, why don't you come check this place out? It ended up being day one of Game Change, which was the last financial campaign that Crossroads ran. And I remember Brian saying, hey, if this is your first time here, I am so sorry. Like, this is a financial campaign, and it might be a little uncomfortable for you. And my wife and I sat next to each other, just kind of bolted to our chairs the whole time, because every word felt like it was being spoken directly to us. And we were amazed. There was something about that idea of letting go and releasing control of finances that was the exact message that we needed at that time. As we started thinking about, really, is God asking us to tithe? Like 10% seems like a gigantic amount of money. Because I started thinking about what are the worldly things I could buy with that amount of money every year instead of giving it? Or what if I don't know exactly where the money is going? And so when Crossroads ran the last campaign called Game Change, and started talking about where is this money going? These are the initiatives. This is what we support. And then creating a full financial review of, at the end of the year, here's what happened with it. I started to feel much more comfortable about the idea that absolutely my money could add a lot of value into the world if I gave it towards these causes. About a year into the Game Change financial campaign, we still hadn't committed anything financially. We were starting to give on a weekly basis just to Crossroads General Fund, starting to feel like, all right, we're part of the community. We had joined a small group, and we were feeling like, okay, I think this is it. My wife and I decided we're all in at Crossroads, and it was like two services later where there was a chance to jump in and be part of the Game Change campaign. And my wife said, I felt that she felt like she'd gotten a number. Like during service, she felt like a number had come to her. And there was something that felt really open about, I trust you. Whatever that number is, we're gonna do it. And now we were spreading that across the next couple of years, but it was still a gigantic jump for us financially because we had just started to tithe to Crossroads for the general fund, and then we're giving above and beyond at a much higher level. Over the course of the next year, we felt like we got returns on that amount that we had given to Crossroads, that we were seeing things in our lives completely change. We were getting opportunities to go to South Africa, to go to India, to go to Man Camp, to things that were growing us spiritually in that community. Our journey in financial giving seems ridiculous when I look at it from the outside, because I've heard those stories of people giving and then getting, you know, a random check in their mailbox or, you know, a bonus they weren't expecting at work. And those stories always seemed fake, and they always seemed like something that somebody was telling you so that you would give more money. And what was crazy is the minute we really surrendered our finances over, we got it back in return. And at the end of the 2 years, we received a check from my Grammy's inheritance that was for a little more than the total amount we had just given. And right at that moment was the chance to fulfill other people's commitments that they hadn't been financially able to. And we were able to turn that check right around and just give to other people's campaigns. It was one of those things where it doesn't feel real. It's odd that it happened to us, but like our story of financial openness was also met with financial reward. And we viewed that as a chance of God saying, if you're going to use these finances in the way that I've envisioned for you, I'm gonna keep them coming so that they can continue to do more work for the kingdom. So as we look at this next campaign, we just have this simple question for God, which is, what are you asking us from us? You know, what is it that you would like us to give back that is yours? And we're hoping to take a position where we're willing to react upon what we hear. And we don't always hear directly from God. And so that's something we feel some anxiety about, of like, what if we hear nothing? And, you know, what if what we hear scares the crap out of us? And we will process that. And we now have a good small group of people that we can go to with those types of concerns. So we don't just have to feel that stress and anxiety. We can take them to others. We can talk about, here's what I think I'm being asked to do. Does that seem in line with what you know about the kingdom? And so we're gonna be looking to our community to help us filter and understand what happens through this campaign and what role we were meant to play in that. I'm Jeff, I'm in.
Yes, we get to do this. We get to do this. One of the things Lib and I have done in our previous campaigns is we've increased the percentage of money that we give away. And we're gonna give you the ability to do that today. You can increase your percentage of money because now you have five more dollars than you had before. So you can increase your percentage of money you give away. You could, I don't know what you give. It could be 300% more than you normally give, or 0.0002%, whatever it is. But anyway, you're now going to be able to give away $5 this week. It's a sign of how God has blessed us, gave us something, and then we make the decision, do I just want to pocket this or do I want to be able to put it out? So I encourage you this week to figure out, who do you want to give this to? Do you want to give it to a friend of yours you're going to have a beer with and you're going to buy his beer? Do you want to go to Starbucks and buy your friend a coffee? Do you see somebody who's homeless and you want to give them $5? Do you want to do something creative of write an encouragement note on the $5 bill and send it to somebody? I don't know what you might want to do, but do that. Get into the habit of thinking and noticing opportunities. And if you want to share it with all of us, go to #ReverseOffering, #ReverseOffering, and let's just see how God starts to grow us. This is the very first experiment in our spiritual journey. Friends, this is going to be good. I'm telling you. I'm tickled about it. You ought to be tickled about it. And I've gone long, so let me pray right now. God, thank you for your people hanging in there on a challenging and, I hope, enlightening topic. Get ready, God, to see what your people do. I believe your people are going to please you in ways that are profound. So work in all of our lives in this journey. All of us who are going to stay and be on this journey, do something unique in our lives and in our hearts. I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, have a great week. The journey's begun. Get out of here. Chop, chop.